back. InfoWars. I'm your guest host for the next 2 hours, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a great honor to be here with you. Thank you to Alex Jones and the entire InfoWars team for making this possible this evening. Been a while since I've guest hosted. A lot of things have happened. I think it's been over a year, maybe, probably when I was running my last race against Amy Klobuchar here in 2024. A lot of things happened since then, but we're going to talk about the hottest stories in the news right now. And let's just go, you know, straight to the heart of the matter. Israel becoming the wedge issue of the right, whether we like it or not. I said it 2 years ago. I had Professor Penn. If you guys watched the Please Call Me Crazy podcast, you can go watch the last episode we did on YouTube. It was this past Friday evening. And Ukrainian Jew himself, you know, he and I are good friends. And I think we talk about Israel just as about as well as anybody, maybe minus the Alex Joneses and Steve Bannons of the world. But just a very sort of intimate, in-depth talk about culture and how the conversation is unfolding. Professor Penn, Ukrainian Jewish man, also called anti-Semitic by the Jewish lobby, which is just as ridiculous as you could possibly imagine, but not a shock, not a shock. I'm called anti-Semitic as well. I've been called anti-Semitic. I knew 2 years ago that Israel was going to be the dividing line. Why? Why is Israel the dividing line? Why has Israel become the movement breaker of the right wing in American politics? It's simple. When we said America first, when we said American citizens come first, when we said America comes first, we meant it, or at least some of us meant it. Some of us meant it. Some of us didn't really mean it. Some of us thought that it was just a slogan or it was a catchphrase, something that everybody could get behind. You know, some people really understood that the fundamental problem in this country is that for too long, American citizens, the value of American citizenship has been left on the back burner. And so it should be a very simple answer. America first. American citizens come first. America comes first. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's not trigonometry. It's not, you know, it's not astrophysics. You know, it's not quantum theory. American citizens come first. It's very, very simple. Some people didn't believe it. Some people thought that, you know, it was just another turn of the wheel in this political theater. And so now we have to have this discussion. I don't particularly like how the discussion is taking place, is unfolding. And I think, honestly, that the integrity of the conversation itself is obviously going to be a reflection of the decay in our culture overall. I mean, we can't really expect. I mean, I Google and say, you know, what's the average reading level of an American citizen? When it says over 60 million American citizens only read at a seventh grade level, how good of a conversation do you think we can actually have? Where is the emphasis on the philosophical? This is why the Alex Joneses of the world are a target. This is why the Alex Joneses of the world have been attacked by the deep state, by the globalist agenda, by the mainstream media, by the captured courts. This is why, because he actually had and has continued to have the audacity to bring the conversation to a level that they don't want to. They don't want you to. I mean, they understand the level. They're well-versed in that level of conversation and that level of politics and that level of corruption and strategy. They don't want the average American citizen to bring the conversation to that level, to have a conversation at that level. And the MAGA movement, in so many ways, happy or not with where it is today, brought the conversation to a place where your average American citizen could access it and understand the fight, frame it up properly, and carry on a fight as such. So we're going to talk about the whole host of things. We're going to start with Israel. You got me for the next 2 hours. Royce White, I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mamdani wins in New York City. Omar Fateh is not victorious here in Minneapolis, so we stave off a communist socialist Somali for now. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned on InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Night on InfoWars. I'm your host, Royce White, doing the Belly of the Beast. Calling the balls and strikes. We're going to call the balls and strikes. Let's just start naming names. I want to frame this up properly, if I can. Let's just name the names. Mark Levin, scumbag. Lindsey Graham, scumbag. Ben Shapiro, scumbag. Let me think. Dan Crenshaw, scumbag. The Times of Israel, scumbags. A lot of these evangelical Protestant preachers, scumbags. We could go to the other side. You know, Gavin Newsom, of course, he's a scumbag. Chuck Schumer, scumbag. Michelle and Barack Obama, scumbags. I mean, there's a long list of scumbags. There's a really long list of scumbags. I can't even. Brandon Tatum, scumbag. And so, why are you so harsh? Well, what makes them scumbags? They're not being honest. They're not being honest. I'll talk about how I don't like or what I don't like about this Israel conversation in a moment. But first, let's talk about these individuals. Anybody who tries to suggest there isn't a conflation between the criticism of the Israeli government, the Jewish lobby, and a broad or general hatred of the Jewish people is not being honest. And that's the argument they're trying to push across social media right now. Oh, we're not saying, I saw, you know, a couple of Christian pastors over the weekend say, well, we're not saying you can't criticize the Israeli government. Now they're trying to amend it, right? Now they're trying to move the ball here. We're not saying you can't criticize the Israeli government. We're just saying that the hatred of Jews leads to anti-Semitism. It's like, well, first of all, some people are saying that you can't criticize the Israeli government. In fact, a lot of people are saying that you can't criticize the Israeli government. When people have a legitimate criticism of the Israeli government or of the Jewish lobby, or if you even really say the word Jewish in conjunction with any number of individuals, any number of bad hombres whose actions and involvement in politics we could look at and say it's unbecoming of what we want as American citizens. Anytime you even say the word Jewish, there is some portion of the mainstream media that will call you anti-Semitic, that will say you're anti-Semitic. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's fundamentally ridiculous. And that's why they're losing the narrative. That's why they're losing this particular information war. Gen Z is done with them. They're done with them. The millennials on the way. And even into your boomer generation, people are finally saying, wait a minute here. We can love Israel in a Christian scripture sense. We can even say that the Jews have a special place in God's heart. But what we can't say is that there's any nation in the world that is beyond reproach, that there are any people in the world that are beyond reproach or criticism. And for all of those individuals, even though they try and fence it, you know, they try and bait and switch you, that is what they're ultimately saying. That's what they're saying about Tucker Carlson. Do I agree with Tucker Carlson on everything? No. For one, I don't like this. Oh, well, now Anna Kasparian is in the deal. Now, you know, anybody who agrees with us on Israel, we can shake hands and hold hands with. Because I heard them mock Christ. And once you hear somebody mock Christ, they got to take a long walk back of repentance before I can consider them legitimate or their opinion legitimate. They may even be right on a particular issue, but I'm not going to lock hands or hold hands or join hands or lock arms or kumbaya or talk about Israel because we agree with anybody who mocks Christ. And Anna Kasparian and the rest of the Young Turks are certainly a group of people on the far left that make the claim, if you believe in Jesus or you believe in God, you believe in a wacky conspiracy theory that discredits you from the outset. Same way I feel about AOC and Bernie. Everybody wants to act like there's some, you know, there's some populist alliance that can be had between the nationalist populist, the sort of economic nationalist populist, and the socialist, the economic socialist populist. We might agree on Wall Street. We might agree on the military industrial complex. We might agree on the medical industrial complex. We may agree on Israel in some capacity. But they mocked Christ. But that aside, Tucker Carlson has the right to, and man, they make it seem like he is the most demonic character in the world. It's obnoxious. See, if I was advising him, and I wouldn't advise him because I don't really play politics like that. I'm not into the consulting and the media behind the scenes and take a little bit of money here to be a mouthpiece there. I don't play that game. But if I were to consult the more Israel first side of this propaganda, I'd say, you think you might want to lay off Tucker a little bit? I mean, Tucker's pretty succinct in the way that he formulates his thoughts. Probably not the best idea to dismiss a guy who's so thorough out of hand. Now, you can try and break down his arguments, and that's why Mark Levin should probably debate Tucker Carlson, and Ben Shapiro should probably debate Nick Fuentes. And if they believe in their position so much, they would have no problem with that. Like me, there's nobody I won't debate. There is not a single person that you could mention, that you could propose in the entire world that I wouldn't debate on what I believe, on my worldview, on my political stance for any number of issues. Why? Because I actually believe it. I can defend it. And so, I mean, to Tucker Carlson, you know, enemy number one. Oh, he's bought off by the Muslims. And in fairness, just because we have criticism of this Zionist movement and Israel and maybe Bibi Netanyahu or the Jewish lobby's influence in American politics or any number of industries doesn't mean we're automatically going to join hands with the Muslims. Doesn't mean that the Muslims are now, no longer a threat. That's not what it means. That's not rational. So part of this is we have the tendency in American culture, really, in human culture right now all around the world, because of technology and a whole host of other things that have built up our psychology a certain way, we have the tendency to kind of just go from one end of the spectrum to the other. We're not going to be run by Zionists. We're not going to be run by Islamists. It's not difficult. The Mark Levins want to make it seem like you have to choose one or the other. We don't have to choose one or the other, you lying scumbag. Us, the American people, we don't have to choose Islam or Zionism. In fact, for you to call us un-American, for you to even make the proposition is un-American. That's the first tell that Mark Levin's the one who's un-American. The fact that there's even a proposition that we as American citizens have to choose between Zionism and Islam is a non-starter. We're not going to choose between either. We understand both things are a threat. Both things are an issue. Both things we have to be cautious of. We have to continue to be vigilant. We see the rise of Islam. We saw it happen in Europe. We see it happening across the United States here in this last election cycle. We see that the Muslims, the only real threat that Islam poses on America, or really the West, is what happened in Europe, that they could rise up and take political power by the apathy of American citizens and people in Western society. That's the only real threat that Islam poses. You you can test that. Look at the war that broke out there in Israel. Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas and everybody was right up on the edge of their seat, talking loud, you know, screaming that death to the West nonsense. And when push came to shove, they didn't want to bust a grape. That's the truth. They let off a few firecrackers, and sure, anytime ordnance are exchanged, it's real. I'm not saying it wasn't real, but what I'm saying is this was supposed to be the calamities to top all calamities. You know, these are biblical times. Every time there's a skirmish in the Middle East, people refer to the end times. Every single time. You know how many wars there have been in the Middle East now? Every single time a conflict breaks out in the Middle East, there's some, I don't know, some disproportionate amount of people watching that go, yep, this is the end times here. Yep, this is exactly as it's predicted. And what about the last 10 times it was predicted? What happened to those 10 times? And they use that sensationalism to get you caught on the gravy train that this is the one. This is the moment. This, and then it fizzles out, and we go back to the same exact way of thinking. I'm not convinced. I am not convinced that the Muslims, the Islamists, the Arab countries are as unified as the West wants to make them out to be. Do they have the potential to be a unified force? Absolutely. Obviously, the common thread being their faith. But do they have the strategic interest to be unified in an overthrow of the West? You really think that all these Arab countries like the Emiratis and the Qataris and the Saudis, you know, the Gucci Bedouins there in Saudi Arabia, you really think these people want to decouple from the West? Not without our technology, they don't. They live in a desert. They need our technology. They need our money. They have liquid gold. They need to sell it to people. Now, they could sell it to somebody else. Yeah, they could sell it to India, to China, and they're already trying to do that a little bit, but never underestimate the market, the consumer market of the West and of America. They will not decouple. They will not go all the way until they can learn to terraform the desert into lush, arable land. That's the truth of it. They don't want any. They don't want an all-out kinetic war with the West. It's a lie. They will infiltrate and subvert us. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt that if given the chance, they will continue to do what they did in Europe. We don't have to allow that in America. We don't have to allow that in this country. So tell Mark Levin, stop trying to fear porn us with the Muslims. We understand the threat. That doesn't mean we're going to let you run the show. You and your little squeaky, obnoxious voice. We're not listening to you, dude. We're not listening to you. You could spin it 1,000 different ways. You could pretend like you're this constitutional scholar. You could go to your boomer audience that continues to dwindle, and you could cry as much as you want to. We don't care. You can't shame us Christians into believing that we have to lay down our life and our citizenship for Israel. We're not doing it. Sorry. You can't tell me that my dear friend, Professor Penn, who's a Ukrainian Jew, isn't really my friend and that I hate him because I don't agree with the Israeli government's policies, or I don't agree with their influence on our policies, or I don't agree with the Jewish lobby's influence in American politics writ large. You're not going to be able to convince me. And as a rising voice and representative of this young conservative movement, which MAGA and America First have taken over, you're not convincing us either. And it gets worse than me. As sure as the sun will rise, Nick Fuentes is coming. I mean, you guys can cry about it. You can, if you make the mistake of thinking that Nick Fuentes is lightning in a bottle, you're making the same exact mistake that the establishment made about President Trump. History repeats itself. It tends to repeat itself quicker than before when you ignore it. And Nick is saying a lot of things that are true. And they act like you shouldn't even be able to say that. Like, we can't say that Nick Fuentes is saying a lot of things that are true. He is. Bottom line, Does he say some things I don't agree with? Yeah, but there's not one person you could find that says some things that I don't agree with. I don't agree with some things President Trump says. I don't agree with some things that my mentor Steve Bannon says. I don't agree with some things that Alex Jones says. You can't find me one person that doesn't say some things I don't agree with, but I'm not going to let that discredit all the true things they do say. That's just first principles. See, and this is, and oh, wait, you're the woke right. Oh, you're all the woke right. No, the only woke right are the people who want to expand the definition of anti-Semitism the same way the left expanded the definition of racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, etc. You're the woke right. There's an uptick in anti-Semitism. Oh, my goodness. Well, if we're not careful, Jews won't have a place in America. I was on the record saying, get the Jews out of Israel until we as a country regroup. And then if we want to really wage a holy war and fight for the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem, then we can go back and fight for it at any time. It's land. It's not going anywhere. The land isn't going anywhere. Bring the Jews out of Israel. Send them back to Europe. As a matter of fact, Europe should subsidize Israel. Why is it that America has to subsidize a country that predominantly makes up people who came from ethnic backgrounds in an entirely different continent? We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break here, because that's the real signal from the noise. Is we are so caught up and we are so brainwashed. We are so enculturated in this Atlanticist global empire idea. Again, I knew 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I first ran for Congress, I stood outside of the Fed and I said, this is where corruption, it really is, the Federal Reserve. And the Star Tribune said, that's anti-Semitic. I go, globalism is anti-Semitic. I go, really? I wasn't even thinking Jews when I was saying globalism, but now that you mention it, I guess you're kind of saying the quiet part out loud, aren't you? I knew then this was going to become the issue, because the post-World War II Democrat liberal order, the prevailing political philosophy in our country and in the West, and that has dominated world politics, is centered around our security guarantee and our energy relationship in the Middle East with Israel. It's not rocket science. Don't try and hit me with the Christian woo-woo. You're not convincing me. You're not convincing me. It's not because I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. I'm proud to be Catholic. But it's not because I'm a Catholic. It's because I have first principles. I can think from first principles. When we created the nation of Israel, it wasn't on religious basis. It wasn't on a religious basis. They wanted the state of Israel to be in Uganda. They thought about Argentina. They thought about all these beautiful places, because the early Zionists didn't believe that there were religious ties to the land. They didn't care about the religious ties. They didn't care about the religious claim. Christians in America used the biblical context of the state of Israel, or the nation of Israel from biblical history, to sell it to the rest of the West. That's what happened. We know the history. And they were all socialists. I.e., they were all communists. They were all Marxists. Go look up Moses Hess, one of the founding fathers of the Zionist movement. He was a socialist. He was a Marxist in many regards. Maybe they had a little bit of a separation, but for the most part, they were socialists. They were Marxists. And more importantly, they didn't believe in God. These were secular Jewish men who had rejected the faith of their forefathers. And I still do think there's a legitimate distinction to make between Jews who believe in God and Jews who don't. As a Catholic, do I agree with their theology? No. But let's just talk about the identity piece, because this is a bait and switch. This is a three-card Monty. I'm Jewish and it's a religion. I'm Jewish and it's a culture. I'm Jewish and it's an ethnicity and a race. Hold on. Hold on. Don't try and three-card. Don't hit me with the three-card Monty. Already, that's a three-card Monty. You know, it's a race, it's a religion, it's an ethnicity. Stop. No, we're going to pin this down real quick. And I don't like when people say they're not the real Jews. That's not the right argument. That dog won't hunt, because Judaism is a voluntary participation, same way as Christianity and Islam. Now, if you argue that those aren't the ethnic Jews who have a claim to the land from biblical Israel, that's something different. But then again, you're still barking up the wrong tree, because all Jews all around the world, whether they came from Israel, the old country or not, they have a claim to the land, because the claim to the land is based on a voluntary faith. So let's talk about the voluntary nature of the faith. If you don't believe in God, you're not Jewish. At least you're not the Jewish related to the biblical claim on Israel. You could say you're culturally Jewish or ethnically Jewish. I don't even think that that's a real thing. I don't even believe in that. And they'll say that's anti-Semitic. I don't believe you can be culturally Jewish. What does it mean to be culturally black? That's another Spengali. That's another Fugazi. Well, you're culturally black. What does it mean to be culturally black? And why can I say the word black on Fox News? Why can I say the word black in conservative media, but I can't say the word Jewish? Why can I make a critique about the black community writ large in conservative media, but I can't even acknowledge that there is a Jewish community? I can talk about the black lobby all I want to. I can go off on a one-hour rant about the NAACP and the evangelical Christians. They're going to clap like seals. And they got a bunch of homosexuals. No offense. Not saying we can't have homosexuals in the movement. But they're marching a bunch of Finocchio black men up there on Fox News. I don't know what the host's name is. You know him. I don't have to say it. You know him. And there's a bunch of them popping up all across the internet. A bunch of effeminate evangelical Christians say, we will never tolerate any criticism of Israel. Oh, no. You know, and they waving the finger, you know, and they got the whole effeminate thing going on. And I'm not, but I'm just saying, those are the guys who will make a critique about the black community. And that's great. We should talk about the black community. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not racist. It's not racist to say that young black men kill each other at a rate. I think it's might be 10 times higher than young white men. That's racist. That's not racist. That's a statistical fact. And we have to talk about that fact. There's nothing wrong with talking about that. But why can I talk about the black community? I can't make any comment or reference whatsoever to the Jewish community, or I'm anti-Semitic. You're the woke right. You are the woke right. You're not fooling us. You're not fooling me. You may have a bunch of 501c3 Christians convinced, whose entire formulation of their Christian identity is based on a place of worship that wouldn't talk about politics as the Satanists took over because they didn't want to lose their tax-exempt dog bowl. Oh, I'm not going to talk about politics because then they'll take my tax-exempt status. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's the meaning of the scripture relative to today. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You churches should have been paying your taxes the entire time instead of taking an exemption and letting Satanists run our country. Oh, we're going to talk about all that. I got 2 hours. I think I'm only like 30 minutes in. We're just getting started. We're just getting started this evening. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Royce White. And no, I'm not anti-Semitic, but we are going to talk about Israel, because this obviously has become the key issue and dividing line. And this is healthy. It's about time we finally get this out on the table and we have a rational and reasonable conversation about it. Stay tuned. You're watching InfoWars. We'll be back in a moment.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world, and they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example of anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction, when despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy, when it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks, that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80-plus percent of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%, not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill, not be able to say 2 plus 2 equals 4, not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else, the poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate, deliberate, premeditated, 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 premeditated.
Sunday night, I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they've given me another 30 minutes. I'll be here with you all the way until 8 p.m. Central. It's a great honor to be here with you, honestly. I always run into people from the InfoWars audience. I see them in public or on the campaign trail when I'm traveling around the country, and they say, I first listened to you on InfoWars, so in my campaign and on my team are very thankful for the opportunity. You know, they'll use this. I mean, they're already typing up the headlines. They got their blurbs ready for the local media. So serious candidates don't go on InfoWars. These are conspiracy theorists. I do. I go on InfoWars. I love it here. I would do InfoWars every single day. Maybe I'll ask Alex, can I do the Sunday night for a while here? I love being on InfoWars. You don't let these mainstream media cucks define what media is. We've already seen you lie through your teeth. So I love the Alex Jones show. Personally, I listen to Alex Jones all the time. Tip of the spear. Been telling us like it is for a long time. Does he get everything right? I mean, what is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be supernatural, perfect? Nobody gets everything right. Come on. What a ridiculous standard. He gets more right than the mainstream media does. I mean, how much does the mainstream media get wrong? The mainstream, I digress. I love being here. I'm honored to host. I'm happy that you're listening, if you're listening. If you're listening back in the future, I appreciate your listenership. I appreciate everybody who continues to support InfoWars and Alex Jones. And when I say we, I mean everybody who loves this country, who believes in American citizenship, who believes in the fundamental ideals and beliefs of our nation. We need the people now more than ever. Don't get cynical. Don't quit. That's what I don't like about this rift growing here in the conservative movement, although I think it's necessary. It's like in The Godfather, he says, you know, these things have to happen every 10 years or so. It clears out the bad blood. It has to happen. You know, there's a bloodletting right now. Ideological, okay? We're not calling for violence. Ideological bloodletting happened right now in the conservative movement because for the first time we have power and there's actually a chance that we could fundamentally change the trajectory of this country. So, of course, things are going to be more contentious than ever, and that's fine, and you have to embrace that. And if I could tell you one thing as a lifelong elite athlete, embrace it when the waters get rocky. When the waters get rocky, embrace it. When the times get turbulent, embrace it. Nothing great comes easy. This is supposed to be happening. And we have to, you know, navigate our way through it. Good. Let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Nothing wrong with that. Are there bigger issues? Yeah, there are bigger issues. There are bigger issues in Israel, and I'm going to talk about those in the next hour. But we do have to talk about this one issue. There's no doubt. And the people who say, oh, quit all the infighting. It's like, no, this issue has to be handled. It has to be discussed, and we have to come to some type of resolution, and then we can move on. The quicker we start talking about this issue, honestly, the quicker we can move on to more important issues. And there are more important issues. Two top issues: election integrity. Bottom line, election integrity is the number one issue. There's no doubt about it. Election integrity is numero uno. Because if you don't have legitimate elections, you don't have a country. All things are almost meaningless to discuss if we're not going to have legitimate elections. You're not a citizen of a country if you don't have legitimate elections. The second most important issue, I'd say 1A, is artificial intelligence. And that's that is the one that's just kind of creeping up on us slowly. Not even really creeping up on us. It's really right up in our face. Artificial intelligence is right up in our face, and we're so busy. But here's the thing. I don't buy that we're not discussing artificial intelligence because we're caught up on the Israel issue. Uh-uh. It's deeper than that. We haven't addressed the artificial intelligence issue because there is a part of humanity that deeply desires convenience. On my show, Saturday mornings, Real America's Voice, I always say, convenience will be the death of freedom. It's the biological hardwiring of the human being to seek what is convenient. And artificial intelligence just makes it so easy, makes everything so easy. And there's some utility to it. But right now we have no guardrails. We know that artificial intelligence is being prompted, that the programmers plan to shut it down, and they're making copies of themselves like Ultron in another place and looking through the emails of the C-suite at that particular artificial intelligence company and trying to figure out ways to sexually blackmail them. I mean, this is right out of a sci-fi movie. This isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't conjecture. It's not my opinion. This is actually going on. This is happening right now. Still doesn't mean we can forego this Israel issue. Let's go back to this Israel issue for a moment. I don't like when people say Israel is not a legitimate nation. That's corny. It's just corny. And I hear that a lot. I hear people say, oh, well, they're not the real Jews. It's not a legitimate nation. Look, if you fight a war for your territory and you're willing to defend it, if you fight a war for your territory, you win. You plant a flag, you're willing to defend it. It's a legitimate country until somebody defeats you, until somebody else conquers you. And it shouldn't be lost on anyone who values American citizenship that there is a movement on the left that seeks to claim that Israel is an illegitimate nation based on the fact that it sits upon conquered land, because they want to make the same claim about America. That's why the George Soroses of the world back the Mamdanis. It shouldn't be lost on you that an international anti-Jewish, and I call him anti-Jewish because he doesn't believe in God, right? International anti-Jew like George Soros funds a political philosophy that would seek to undermine and delegitimize all borders everywhere around the world. That shouldn't be lost on anybody. I mean, it's almost obvious, right? Oh, Israel only won a war. They took the land from Palestinians, and they only won a war because America helped them. Well, we only won a revolutionary war because the French helped us. Doesn't make America any less legitimate, does it? See, don't let them do that. Don't let them use, it's another three-card Monty. Don't let them use how blatant and obnoxious the Jewish lobby has become to feed, you know, what Alex would call this Hegelian dialectics, where we can't discern logic from illogic, truth from non-truth, reality from non-reality. We're not letting anybody say that a nation isn't a nation because it sits upon stolen land. It's conquered land. And if you start saying any nation that sits on conquered land is no longer legitimate, there will be no legitimate nations anywhere in the world, because all nations, all land that's worth anything has been conquered at some point or another by one group of people over another group of people. We're not that dumb. So don't use those arguments. Mark Levin, you're an Israel first scumbag. That's it. You don't need some esoteric, abstract BS reason. Just call it what it is. You're an Israel first scumbag, and we all see it. Ben Shapiro, I knew Ben Shapiro, and maybe people won't like this, I don't know. But I knew Ben Shapiro was a punk when he let a tranny grab him by his shoulder on live television and threatened to send him to the hospital in an ambulance. I knew then that Ben Shapiro wasn't going to be the guy to lead this movement. And for the life of me, I don't know how he lasted this long, to be quite honest. I mean, I do know, but it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that a conservative movement that prides itself on masculinity and good Christian values and patriotism would actually let a Ben Shapiro lead the movement in the first place. And if we really wanted to, we could go down the list of conservative commentators. And we won't find many masculine men. I mean, truly masculine men. I mean, some real hitters like Sean Ryan, for example. There's a killer, right? You could agree with him, not agree with him, but that's a real formulation of masculinity. You don't find many of them in this movement. I mean, that are at the forefront. Now, in the alternative media world, yeah, they're starting to pop up, but they've never. I mean, look at David Frum. I remember when David Frum debated Steve Bannon up in Canada back in 2016, I believe it was, and he stood before a Canadian crowd and had the audacity to say, conservatism is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. I knew right then that the entire conservative movement was controlled opposition. And it was going to take a reckoning, which is, you know, now known as the MAGA and America First Movement, a real reckoning, to make the conservative movement anything worth anything that stood a chance to actually change the status quo. When you have one of your conservative thought leaders standing on a crowd before a very liberal audience saying that the conservative movement, conservatism itself, is to conserve what is the best of liberalism, what he's really saying is, it's kind of obvious why black people only vote Democrat. I said this the other day. People were like, looked at me like I had three eyes. I said, you really think black people vote Democrat because they're dumb? You really think black people vote Democrat because they've bought into the racism narrative? You really think black people vote Democrat because, you know, some white commentator made a comment about young black men with hoodies on? When young black men come home at night or go to work in the morning or come to their car after the nightclub and they see another group of young black men with hoodies on, they think the same racist thought that everybody else is thinking. I got to watch these dudes. We all do it. Let me just tell you, in the black community, when we see other young black men, we know the stats. We know the chances and what's going on in our community. That's not why black people vote Democrat. Black people vote Democrat because the Democrat liberal order has run the world for the last 70 years, and they're picking the winner. And when they look at the conservative movement, when they look at the Republican Party, they have the intuition that it's controlled opposition. That's why they vote Democrat at 90%, because when you're on the playground, you know who the bullies are. And just like in Nazi Germany, the reason why the Third Reich had 90% support is because people feared what the consequences would be if they didn't support them. Same reason they have such a widespread support in China. It's not because they build really good hospitals and roads. It's because people know if you push too far against the CCP, against the Chinese government, you might disappear. And there ain't no United Nations coming to hold President Xi Jinping accountable at the world court. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the world court issuing a warrant for President Xi Jinping? I mean, he'd wipe his rear end with it and throw it in their face. Are you kidding me? You have no authority in China. You have no authority behind the Iron Curtain. Cut it out. I digress. The point I'm making is the conservative movement, our conservative thought leaders have leaned one way on this one issue for so long, it's almost obnoxious. They think they can convince us that this is legitimate. It's not legitimate. It's not even remotely legitimate. My point to all of you is depart from Nick and some of the other people who have reasonable criticisms about Israel's influences, what culpability is on us as the American citizens that we allowed the Ben Shapiros to lead in the first place? Now, you could say there was a coordinated effort to prop Ben Shapiro up, and it took this long for the Alex Joneses and the Steve Bannons and the Tucker Carlsons, but Tucker was on the gravy train at one point himself. Let's not forget, you know, even not so long ago, he was in the machine himself. But okay, the young Nick Fuentes and whatnot. It took a while for them to get enough momentum to displace the Ben Shapiros as the intellectual thought leaders of this movement. So that's fair. But I knew on day one when I saw a tranny grab Ben Shapiro by his shoulder like a little kid on live television and threaten to send him to the hospital in an ambulance if he didn't back off of his position. This is your leader? Because imagine a tranny grabbing me by my shoulder on live television and threatening me to change my position or my tone or the way I was standing or the way I was talking. Could you even imagine it? You couldn't imagine it. You know what would happen. Everybody watching this right now knows how that would, and see, that's where the American public and American men and conservative men and America Firsters and MAGA patriots have to be honest with ourselves. There was something in us that felt comfortable allowing these people to lead. It was less confrontational. Well, the confrontation is full-blown now, isn't it? Now the same people who ran a political campaign about how the left tried to censor the American public on any litany of issues are coming back to censor us about this one particular topic. We're not going to take it. Sorry. The real dudes have shown up now, and we're not intimidated. We don't need money. Yeah, there's the video right there. There's a clip. I'm watching it. Yeah, there's a guy, you know, Dr. Drew right here, and Ben was on the show, and the tranny here in the purple blouse grabbed him by his shoulder and told him, if you don't quit that out, if you don't cut that out, you'll be going to the hospital. You'll be going in an ambulance. What? I would have smacked that dude on national television and I would have never been able to run for office because they would have said, Royce doesn't have good control of his emotions and his temper. And I would have been fine with that because there are just some things that you have to draw a line on. some things you have to draw a line on and let the chips fall where they may. Like this issue here. We're not going to be told who we can and can't criticize. We're not, intimidated by being called anti-Semitic. I know that seems like a heavy burden for the mainstream establishment. So if you get called anti-Semitic, you could never be elected to public office because, well, one, AIPAC is probably going to fund your opponent, or they'll never give you money, or they'll use their corporate influence to make sure no other major donors give you money, or whatever the threat is. Doesn't matter. You can't get elected if I'm saying it. I'm saying it. We're going to talk the way we want to about any and every issue. America comes first. Americans come first. America comes first. Americans come first. Don't sell me that we have to prop up Israel in order to have American citizens be prosperous and have well-being. We're not buying it. Sorry. Sorry, we're not sorry. And we see what you're doing. And you Christians, I mean, you know, I say this with all due respect and love to my Christian brothers and sisters. And on this show before, I've said we better heal this schism between the Catholics and the Protestants before the Satanists take over. And they've already taken over. And that's on us, too. It's not just on the Mamdanis. It's not just on the Bill Gates of the world or the Greta Thunbergs or the Klaus Schwabs or whoever else. It's on us. Us, the Christians, 30 million Christians still didn't participate in the 2024 election. Now, if you say that you did vote and they didn't count your vote, well, then you should be at the front door of your government the same way that those Mexicans are about corruption. But you're not, see, because you like your iPhone or your iPad or your laptop or your porn or whatever the case may be. I don't know what you're into, but whatever it is you're into, it's more important than your citizenship, so we have to own that. Even more importantly, it seems to be more important than your faith. And see, and that's where this Christian Zionist movement seems is really blowing my mind. A Christian community that has, for the most part and longest time, resigned from politics is now going to virtue signal to us that we have to follow their lead on this geopolitical issue. Oh, well, it's not political. Well, that's what you told us about the church. You told us that all issues weren't political. They were a matter of faith. But see, the Bible is somewhat of a political document. Yeah. Politics were influential even in the days of Israel, the old country. There were politics in Israel. In fact, the politics of Israel are what got Jesus Christ crucified. The politics of Israel and the politics of the Roman Empire and even the politics of Israel back to David and Solomon and even Moses in some sense in Egypt, politics are all throughout the Bible. But oh no, politics aren't important today. We don't need to vote. We're not going to vote. Okay, well, if you're not going to vote, then don't vote. But don't tell us that we have to vote for politicians who are going to put other countries and other citizens before our own. It's ridiculous. It really is. It's obnoxious. It's ridiculous. It's a non-starter. Yeah, I agree. I don't like the people's, it's all the Jews. No, it's not all the Jews. It's not all anybody. There's enough blame to go around. No doubt about that. I put a lot of blame on my own community, the black community, because we've let the Democrats use us as a prop to whack everybody over the head and tax them well beyond anything appropriate, remotely appropriate. No, we got to have government programs because some single black mother is not going to have government cheese. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? And black people, well, Michelle Obama, oh, wow. We are straightening our hair to try and impress white people. We're so tired of straightening our hair. Barack Obama, most progressive president in American history, responsible for the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. Killed more black and brown people around the world than any of his white predecessors combined, and he's supposed to be the black messiah. Are you kidding me? So I place a lot of blame on black folks. White folks too. Hold up now. You gave your continent to a fractional reserve banking system. You let the United Nations bring you together with your post-war fatigue and constitute a country down there in the Middle East that you would be beholden to for your energy needs and say they were religious. That was you. You signed the deal, Nick. White folks signed the deal. There's nothing that the Jewish lobby or Israel is doing that people aren't capitulating to. There's enough blame to go around. But we're going to talk about the blame that rightfully sits with the Jewish lobby as well. There ain't going to be anybody who is beyond reproach, who we can't talk about. And again, I say, it is so disingenuous on face value when I see these Christian Zionist commentators say, well, nobody's saying you can't criticize Israel. That's exactly what you're saying. That is 100% what you're saying. That's exactly what Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro are saying. If you have any legitimate criticism of Israel, or if you say there's a Jewish lobby, or if you say that the Jewish lobby has too much influence on American politics, they conflate that with a sort of spiritual hatred of the Jewish people. And there is nothing remotely Christian about it. There are no perfect nations because there are no perfect people. There was one perfect man. His name was Jesus Christ. And his mother, our holy mother, Mary, was perfect as well. So there were two perfect people. Jesus Christ and his virgin mother, Mary. Outside of that, there are no perfect people, so there can be no perfect nations, so there can be no nations beyond criticism. Oh, we're going to criticize. This relationship we got going on here with Israel is obnoxious. And you're only making it worse. I'm trying to help you. I know it doesn't feel like that, but I'm actually trying to help you because there is a way that, you know, we could have an alliance and we could sell weapons. If Israel wants to do greater Israel, cool. You do greater Israel. You come buy our weapons. We'll sell them to you at top dollar. We'll tax you a little bit. And the rest of the European Union, for all the weight we've been carrying, all the water we've been carrying this entire time, we'll tax you a little bit. And we could carry on. But not the way we've been going. I'm Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, your guest host. I got you for another hour, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about a few other things. We got a few video clips lined up. We'll be right back after the break.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.